The town of Discovery Bay. Can everyone stand? Director Goto, can you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Has roll call been taken?
Roll call has been taken, and let the record reflect that all members are present.
Thank you. This is the time in our meeting where we open up for public comment. We ask that if you have any public comment that you would like to do, that it not be anything on the agenda. 3 minutes, we love to hear what you have to say, but we are not able to respond. Is there anybody that has public comment? We'll go one at a time. Sorry, I don't have little cards. So if you wouldn't mind coming up and just introducing yourself and then what your comment is.
Here.
Let's contain our dogs first.
Leonard Warren. At the meeting before last, there was a discussion somewhere, and I don't remember if it was here or out in the parking lot, about making the very tall post, the portable generator light, not blinding non-incoming traffic coming up Discovery Bay Boulevard. But that's the last meeting. I noticed that hadn't been done yet. That you make sure it gets done because it's lightning on incoming traffic.
Thank you. Is there anyone else that has public comment?
Do you mind if I sit in my hip spot?
Yeah, no problem at all. Just speak loud, please.
I just wanted to get an update on where we are in the high density housing project and wanted to make a comment that I know you guys have taken the position you don't agree with it. Are you looking at any stronger position? There are options, you know.
I would say for updates on those, we're going to start having MAC meetings, which are Municipality Advisory Committee meetings. They'll be the first meetings of the month. There will be an agenda set for that. There's a link on our website under County Relations where you can go in and put comments in and do agendized items. We'll do the agenda off of those. So I would encourage you to come to our meeting in April, that first meeting, where we can update you on that under the MAC portion of the meeting. So the other thing is, again, on our website under County Relations, a lot of that information, like the letters that we've submitted, what we've been doing, is posted there.
I don't know if you know, Huntington Beach has litigated the governor directly and the state regarding the same subject, as well as Concord turned down or refused to do any of that high-density housing in the old armory area. So there's precedent in each of that. And I think sometimes the county tries to bully a small town.
I think the hard thing for us is we have no land authority. So we're advisory. And again, I would encourage you to come to that meeting so we can give you updates and kind of give you the resources that you need. It will be done under the MAC portion of the meetings.
Okay.
Anything else? Okay. Thank you.
Do you want to remind him of the March 20th date? So if he does have it, he can send it in?
Yeah. So March 20th, we have a, there's an EIP review due. So you can send your concerns and letters to Will Nelson and also, you know, you can CC us in.
I think I already sent
Yeah, one. So that would be another one. Okay. Perfect. Is there anybody online?
No online.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else in the audience that has public comment? Okay, thank you. We're going to close public comment. We're moving on to consent calendar.
Motion approved. Second.
Okay. Any questions from the board? Comments? Any public comment?
No.
Okay. Can I take a roll call vote, please?
Yeah. Director Graham?
Aye.
Director Goto?
Aye.
Director Graves?
Aye.
Vice President Callahan?
Aye.
President Porter?
Aye. The consent calendar has been approved. We're going to move down to presentations. Looks like our first one is the SMS Community Alert. Assistant General Manager, Helen.
Yes, good evening, Board. This actually came to you February 16th of 2022. SMS
short messaging service. I learned a lot by trying to figure this project out. What you have in front of you, I put this this in front of you as we go through this. We're going to actually be rolling this out tonight. The main point of this is to have, for the people that weren't in attendance in the February 22 meeting, this is to provide community alerts to our citizens, should they elect to sign up for the service, about water, wastewater incidents that occur in our city, to receive alerts should they elect to get those via their cell phones. And what I have in front of you is a map that basically differentiates the different zones within the town of Discovery Bay, and there's five of those. And the rationale of having the five zones was not all zones would be necessarily impacted, so we didn't want to send out notifications to people that would not be impacted by any kind of catastrophe of water, wastewater, line breakage. But we do have the ability to send it out to all of them should the need arise. The reason why this was configured this way is I spoke with Aaron regarding our water system and the way our pipes and our lines go through our town. And this was the best way to break it up based on the way our lines run, our valves, and shutting off water. And that way we're not going to send unnecessary messages to people who don't need them. What's really good about this system is when you opt into the system, you can actually get multiple notifications for different zones. So you could sign up for zone 2, 4, whatever you want, up to all five zones. So I have this in front of you, and I have it in different forms because I just want to show you and the public how easy it is to opt into this system. So if you have your cell phones in front of you, your smartphones, I don't think anyone is using a... Is anyone using a flip phone?
They're really cool flip phones now.
Okay. They used to be really cool flip phones.
No, but they're super cool now.
But if you have a flip phone, you can actually text join TODB to the 888-619-2659 number, and it's going to bring you to a screen where you're going to be able to opt into our system. Otherwise, there are QR codes that are on your form. You can open your camera, and some of you can go to the register to text via prompt or go to use our web form. And that is actually probably the easiest one for people to use, and the features, if you could pull that up for us. This is going to be on our site, and we were playing with it last week and this week, and so if you were registered to receive updates of, hey, we have something new on our system, and then it wasn't there, it's because we kept putting it on and taking it off. So basically what it is when you come up to our site or you use your smartphone to do this, and you look at this map, you say, okay, I live in zone two. But maybe I'm in between zone 2 and 3. When you use your mouse to hover over that, it enlarges the map so you can actually see your street or some cross streets that are near where you live, so you can opt into that zone. So that's a great thing about this system. As you fill out, if you scroll down a little bit. So basically what we're asking people to do is fill out those boxes, and that signs them up. Once they're signed up for those, or signed up initially, it gives them the option of signing up for additional zones. Now,
say that again. Can I sign up for more than one zone?
You can sign up for more than one zone. So when you sign up for your first zone, it's going to ask, I think you believe it asks you for your name, then it asks you what zone you'd like to
Correct.
Sign up for, and then you should receive another prompt if you want to sign up for additional zones.
So put one zone in first.
Yes.
Oh, I got that prompt.
Nice.
Thank you
that
for
works.
The Please fill out the word yes. To
oh, start. I did type yes.
It yeah. doesn't give, okay, it hasn't yet, but let's see what happens. We're getting there. You're the one that said pull out the phone and try it.
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
So you're technically going to be our first.
We might be here all night.
No, we're not, because we have Beatrice. And I just want to say that this would have taken me months. Beatrice allowed us to do this in a couple weeks because there were things that I didn't know or understand, and Beatrice and I worked through this for several hours, but Beatrice was instrumental in making this happen. I really do appreciate all your help, because you and I both know if it wasn't you helping me, this would take a long time.
That's right. Thank you, Beatrice.
Thank you for that. So have you guys gotten into that where you've signed up for at least one zone?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. It just prompts you to just go right down the list. Okay. Perfect.
So
it works.
Okay. So it is working. And so you won't receive any alerts until we send them out. Once those alerts go out, you're not going to be able to respond back to us on those. It's just information going out. But we are. This is a living and working program. So as we continue to make changes to it, it will roll out on this program. There will be disclaimers on there. Sometimes people, if there is a problem, they don't want to reach out to a third-party vendor. We're going to have information on there that they can contact us, and we'll respond to those types of request texts to inform them of, like, they're having a problem with something. So we'll be able to have that customer service up to it.
Have we defined what those responses are going to be yet? As far as
what we're going to send out?
Yeah, as when the text message comes out, you know, have you defined what the message is going to be based on whatever this
program is? Right, they're going to be water, wastewater type messages. Right. Mm-hmm. Water, wastewater is the one that's paying for this service.
Understood.
So, yeah, it'll be that type of...
No, but my question would be, have you defined what the actual verbiage is going to be? You know, is it going to be, hey, we have a problem, or we have a problem, we have a solution, or...
We would notify people that there's an element, like there's an emergency here, there's a line breakage. If we can give them an alternate route into Discovery Bay, we'd do that. We would let them know, hey, it's been taken care of, the problem has been resolved, those types of messages. And it will vary. I mean, we haven't done this before, so we're going to
play with it.
But obviously we want to give them as much information as we can
at the beginning. Great. And
but who's going to be the message provider? Is that going to come from...
Well, I'm an admin... Beatrice is an admin.
So the message would probably come from wastewater, water, and
right.
So you got it.
Right. We'll make sure that the person that knows what they're doing about the water, wastewater is giving us the best information and putting it out there. Yes, sir.
Apparently, you're limited to 3 zones.
No, you're not.
No.
Well, I followed the instructions, and it won't accept zone 4.
It doesn't like you.
It says you're now registered for alerts in zones 3, 2, and 1. Would you like to reserve alerts for other zones? I put yes, and then I put in 4, and nothing happened.
Did you wait for the prompt?
Did you wait for it to give you the next prompt? Because once you
How do you know that?
It you should have said yes, and
because
then replies,
yes, you say
and
yes,
then you put
okay.
4.
So, 5 seconds.
So now you're hosed.
We can work through it.
Well, the tech savvy director
figured out
very quickly. So.
Well, I knew Director Callahan wasn't going to have any problem with this.
The rest
what
of
are you
us
trying
are
to say, Alan? I did what it told me to do, and I did what you told me to do.
I think you got overzealous and you beat
Director
the
Greaves, I had similar problems with this process, but I worked through it.
Yeah.
We'll help you.
How do you work through it?
I'll talk to you after the meeting.
Sidebar.
We'll sidebar.
Yeah, what we'll be able to do for you, Director, is we'll go through that tomorrow. I can actually go through those and put you in different zones. Whatever you feel an interest in having. And if you work through those problems and you have issues, you can contact me and we will get you signed up.
Sorry, you may only do this once per day. Please try again tomorrow.
Yeah, you're
right. Perfect.
I'll tell you why. There's a program set up for a workflow. And when people come in, they're given those prompts, provided they don't make a mistake. If they don't make a mistake, then they're in. But if they make a mistake, they have to wait till 7 a.m. the next morning, and then they can add those additional zones.
Okay.
But don't feel bad. I did it too.
I don't feel bad at all.
But for members of the public, if they have a problem, they can call and speak with Beatrice or someone in the office.
Beatrice, myself, but they shouldn't really have a problem. I mean, it's the easiest on the form that we did it on our site. When you go in on the phone, that's the next easiest. The reason why we're putting the QR codes and what we envision is putting this up at our community center and there, so when people come in, they can scan the QR code. We can put it at Safeway on their message board, and when they scan it, if they have the map there, they'll be easy to see that the zones what they're going to be registered.
I'd recommend putting it at Starbucks too.
Yeah, we can put it all over the place.
Yeah.
I know a little place over here that'll put it up for you.
Super cool.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So
not too shabby, I think you mean.
Sorry.
So it mentions if you work or live in Discovery Bay, but for like those people, we have so many people who come and spend every weekend on their boat down here, they can sign up for it.
Anybody can sign up. If you don't put a Discovery Bay address, or that doesn't matter. you're just signing up to get notifications for the zone. And I'm assuming like people that have rentals here, they might want to know if there's some kind of emergency near their home. Okay. They can also sign up for it.
All right, I'll see if I can get the yacht club to send this out to everyone. So.
Awesome. Any other questions for Alan?
It's great.
Next thing.
Yes. Yes. There's some public comments, sorry.
Yes, I see.
I live a long time in San Mateo County. I've been a couple of years in Alameda County. And those counties have the alert system set up where a number of city and county agencies and the CHP can enter information. And I would like to suggest that you maybe set up another numbered zone that if the CHP wants to send out an alert, you can sign up for a zone that applies to the highways close to here.
That is a great idea, but this is being paid for through the water and wastewater, and that's why this is focused solely on those types of emergencies. But I can see what you're saying.
Maybe if you get them to chip in a little bit of money.
Yeah, sure.
CHP?
I can't get them to pull out the signs down at the end of the street. What are you talking about?
Thank you. Thank you. This is awesome. We've been working on this for a long time. So congratulations to past and present communications committee for making this happen. Perfect. Okay. Looks like we are moving on to discussion of possible action to approve fiscal year 2021-2022 audited financial statements. Julie.
Good evening. Per government code 53891 requires local agencies to furnish to their controller a report of their financial transactions and to have the underlying audited financial statements. I am pleased to be here tonight to introduce our public accountants, and it will be Pauline Sanguinetti and Croce, Sanguinetti and Vanderveen, to present the results of our audited financial statements. I also wanted to mention that our financial transaction reports were transmitted to the state on January 31st, 2023, as required by the government.
Thank you.
So without further ado, I will have Pauline come up and go through the financials.
Welcome.
Hi, everybody.
Hello.
Thanks, Julie. As Julie said, I'm Pauline Sanguinetti with Carsey Sanguinetti and Banner, and some of you may know me, some of you I know that Kevin is. But I'm going to do the presentation tonight on the audited financial statements. So just as you guys are probably all aware, you're required to have an audit done annually, and you actually have a year to get that audit done. And then in addition to that, you are required to have what's called a special district's financial transaction report, which is submitted to the state controller's office, which is what Julie referred to, that was submitted on January 31st, which is the deadline. So you are timely on all of your filings and all of the requirements. So some districts are not. Some districts are late and they don't get their stuff done on time. So we're happy to say that everything here is current. So I'm going to go ahead and go through the audit report. If anybody has any questions, you can interrupt me or you can ask me at the end. It's up to you. Your statements are large, so I won't go through page by page, but I am going to give you an overview. So I'm going to have you go to the first page, which is page one. So this is our auditor's report. This is where we issue our opinion. So basically the whole purpose of us when we do an audit is for us to render an opinion on the financial statements. So we have issued an unmodified opinion, which is the highest level of assurance that we can give you as your auditors, that there's a clean opinion, there are no material statements to your financial statements, and this is a very standard report. So what you're seeing is what you have historically received, so there's nothing different there. If you were to look at this report, compare it to last year, you would note some changes, and there was a change in a standard. And the standard required the formatting of the auditor's reports to be different. And in addition to that, there's some additional language that they added, so they never make anything shorter. They always make everything longer. So instead of it being two pages, now it's three pages. But again, it's a very standard report. And again, an unmodified opinion, which is again a clean opinion. The next part of your financial statements is the management's discussion and analysis. So this section of your financial statements is where you can see kind of comparative data from last year to this year. You don't have any other comparative data in your financial statements besides what's in your management's discussion and analysis. This part also is some, there's some narratives. You get narrative explanations and you get some graphs and charts. And so you can kind of see that data from last year to this year. So on page 4, this kind of goes through the financial highlights. And in a narrative format, it's kind of explaining the fluctuations from last year to this year. So if we go ahead and flip, instead of going through the narrative, I'm going to jump to the table. So that's page 4 is a narrative kind of fluctuation from last year to this year. Page 5 is just explaining. There's two different types. Your financial statements have two different sections of your basic financial statements. And they're on two different bases of accounting. So the first is the government-wide financial statements, which are a full accrual. Then there's your fund financial statements. We're on a modified accrual. So modified accrual means you strip out all of like the capital assets of your debt, your long-term debt. So those items are stripped out of the fund base. So this is on page 5 is explaining those two different bases of accounting. On page 6, this you'll see this table. And this table is showing you comparative information from last year to this year. And you have your funds are broken out by governmental activities, which is your community center, parks and rec, and your light and landscaping districts. Business type activities are your water and sewer. Then you have your total. So you can see comparative information from last year to this year. You'll see your total assets for the year did go up, and that's primarily due to the fact that you have a new bond, and so you got additional cash inflow this year. So your current and other assets went up about $12,000. Your capital assets also went up about $6.6 million. As you know, you've had some capital projects, and you are now have a new bond. You are spending money on more capital assets. Down below in your liability section, you'll see your current liabilities went up about $1.8 million. Again, that's just a reflection of the timing of some of the bills at the end of the year, and you did have a lot of activity and projects. So again, that's contributing to that large amount at the end of the year. Your non-current liabilities, this includes where your bond information. So that's why you have an increase of that $17 million is primarily due to the bonds payable amount that you have at the end of the year. Then in the net position section, which is the bottom section, it's broken out into invested in capital assets, restricted and unrestricted. Your restricted is in relation to your bonds. That money that came in for the bonds is strictly to spend for that particular purpose. That money cannot be spent for any other purpose, therefore it's considered restricted. And so that your largest portion, you know, of your net position is the unrestricted net position. It's about 36.72%. So a lot of your money is unrestricted, which is good because you can do what you need to operationally. On to page 7. This is your table showing you your revenues and expenses comparing from last year to this year. Your total revenues changed a whole lot. It's pretty comparative from last year to this year. Your expenses did go up a little bit from last year to this year. So you did have a change in your net position. You had a loss this year of about $431,000 compared to an income last year of $1.3 million. So your net position at the end of the year was a $52,030,000 approximately. Then down below it kind of just explains the different fluctuations in the revenues and expenses. On page 8, there's just some graphs so you can just see your expenses, your program revenues, general revenues for governmental activities. And then on page 9, again, it's showing you some graphs relating to your business type activities. Again, that's your water and sewer. On page 10, this is explaining your governmental funds, which is again your fund-based, your fund-based governmental funds, and then also your proprietary funds, which are your water and sewer. Then you have your capital assets. So you have a net investment in capital assets of about $16 million. Then on page 11, this kind of gives you a highlighting of like some of your larger projects that you had during the year. So you did have your total investment in capital assets before depreciation did increase by $9.5 million. And the significant additions were your water treatment plant, well number 8, and then there's various, I won't go through all of them, but you can see that they're listed here. Your wastewater denitrification project obviously is the largest one that you have here. The Edgeview pipeline replacement project. So again, you have various projects that were going on during the year. Down below is just the table, so you can just see the numbers broken out by the different types, by land, buildings and improvement, treatment and collection. And you can see that comparatively from last year to this year. Leaving you with your net capital assets at the end of the year, $52,670,000. On page 12 at the top, it's just explaining that you do have some outstanding debt. And then there's more description of the debt can be found in Note F in this report, which is farther down into your audit. So that's kind of your management discussion and analysis. Then the next section is your basic financial statements. So on page 13, this is a statement of net position, otherwise known as your balance sheet. So you have your governmental activities in one column, your business type activities, and then your total. This is a full accrual balance sheet. So this is everything on the accrual basis. So your total assets for the year were $93,190,000. Most of that is made up of your cash and investments and your capital assets. Then you have your liabilities, which are broken up by current liabilities and non-current liabilities. So your total liabilities for the year were $41,161,000. Most of that is in relation to the bonds and accounts payable. Then you have the net position. Again, that's broken out into the three different types I referenced earlier as far as net investment and capital assets, restricted for debt service, and then the unrestricted. Continuing on to page 14. This is a statement of activities. So this is your income and expenses in relation to the governmental activities and the business type activities on a full accrual. So on page 14 in the governmental activities column, you can see that for the governmental activities, you had net income for the year of the $41,150. In the business type activities, you had a loss of $472,293, leaving you with a net loss of about $431,000. On page 15, this is your governmental funds. So this is fund-based, your balance sheet on the fund-based for the general fund, the community center, and then your lighting and landscaping zones. So total assets on the fund-based for the governmental funds was $2,700,000. Most of that was cash and investments. Then you have your liabilities of about $200,000, and then you have your fund balances for each of those funds of about $2.5 million total. Then at the bottom, this is where it reconciles from the fund-based to the government-wide based. So you can see the differences there with the capital assets and then any long-term liabilities. Page 16, this is the income statement essentially of the governmental funds on the fund-based. So your total revenues were $1,229,000. Most of that's from property taxes. And then you had your expenditures of the $1,331,000. And so you had a net change in your fund balance, a loss of $101,000, leaving you with your fund balance at the end of the year of the $2.5 million. Page 17, this is just a reconciliation from fund-based to government-wide for your income and expenses. On page 18, these are your proprietary funds, which is balance sheet for your proprietary funds, which is your water, sewer, and the financing authority. So your total assets for the year was $124 million. Again, most of that is cash and investments and capital assets. And then you have your current liabilities of $3.6 million. And then your non-current liabilities of the $73,650,000. And then your net position, again, is the net investment in capital assets, restricted for debt service and unrestricted. Just so that you guys are aware, it may look funny to you that you have this negative amount and this net investment in capital assets. The reason why you have the negative is in the year that you borrow the money, in the year you acquire the bond, you receive the cash and you also have the debt. But you haven't spent all that money on the capital assets. So because net investment in capital assets is the capital assets less the debt, right now your debt exceeds your capital assets. So that's why it's negative. So in the early years of the debt, you're gonna see this negative. It will turn itself around once you have those assets. So just so I don't explain, but that's just how it works at the beginning.
Makes sense.
On page 19, This is the statement of revenues, expenses, and changes in fund net position for the proprietary fund and your income statement. Again, it's for water, sewer, and the financing authority. So you had total operating revenues of $11,200,000. You had operating expenses of $10,460,000. So you had operating income of about $750,000. And then you have non-operating revenues of about $1.2 million of expenses because you have bond issuance costs and interest expense. And so your change in that position is at $472,293. On page 20, this is a statement of cash flows just for the proprietary funds. So this kind of shows you your cash activity for the year in those funds. So you had net cash provided by operating activities of $4,900,000. You had cash flows from non-capital financing activities of about $16,682,000. Most of that has been. And then you used about $9.3 million in capital and related financing activities. You had some interest income. So you did have an increase in your cash of about $12,200,000, leaving you with your cash and investments at the end of the year of $36,885,000. And of that, there's about $16.5 million that's restricted. Then down below, this is just the reconciliation of the operating activities. It's adding back some non-cash items like depreciation, and then it just shows your fluctuations in your operating assets and liabilities. Page 21 starts the notes to the financial statements. Note A is one of the larger disclosures that you have. It's your summary of significant accounting policies. It basically just gives you a description of the reporting entity. It tells you what the government-wide statements are, what fund financial statements are, you know, explains what your governmental funds are, your proprietary funds. It's a very large disclosure. It's very standard. It's what you guys have seen before. And then it continues on with the basis of accounting, accrual basis, modified accrual basis. Page 26, it explains your accounts receivable, your cash and investments. Again, these are all very, very standard. And there really isn't anything new in that note A that was a new item. So at the bottom of page 31, there are some new accounting pronouncements. One of them has to do with leases. We have to put these in if it didn't really affect your financial statements, that implementation of that standard. And then also the second one that you implemented, all of these that you implemented, nothing, there was no net effect on your financial statement. You don't see anything on your financial statements. It didn't really do anything for you guys. Some agencies and districts it does. In this case, for you guys, it did not. And then if there's any standards that have not been adopted, and they're not required to be adopted yet, and it pertains to this district, we usually include those. So that's only one at the bottom of that page 32. Then on page 33, this is your cash and investments. So it just breaks out your cash and investments, again, by the governmental activities and business-type activities. Then it shows you your cash on hand, your deposits with financial institutions, money that's held with your bond trustee, your investments in the certificate of deposit, and then also money that you have held at the county. So your total cash and investments for the year was at $39,537,000. The rest of this is just, again, these are all just, unfortunately, these are all just accounting requirements that we have to include in your financial statements, and they're always long. It's just disclosing the different types of risk involved. And then on page 37, note C is your accounts receivable. So you have accounts receivable of $620,000. You have allowance for uncollectible about $68,000. So your net receivable is $552,000. 38, note D is interfund transactions. So this is just activity between the different funds that happens during the year. 39, note E is your capital assets. You've kind of seen some of this already in the MD&A, but this gives you more detail by the governmental activities and the business type activities. Page 40, that note continues disclosing the depreciation expense taken for each of those different funds. Note F is the long-term debt, so we're disclosing that you do have debt. And you have bonds on page 41, so you'll see that you have your bonds from before, 2012, 2017, and now you have the new 2022 revenue bond. So your total at the end of June 30th, 2022 was $38,105,770. Then we just go to explain the different revenue bonds. And then on page 43 is just the requirements for the debt service, so you can see what is coming down the pipeline, what the district is going to have to pay for principal and interest. Note G is just disclosing you have a 457 plan. You've also, on page 44, you have a deferred compensation plan, deferred contribution plan. So it's explained that you have that. And then also that the employer contributions to that plan were the $61,385. Note H is in relation to compensated absences, so that's vacation, any kind of approved vacation. That was $79,000 at the end of the year. Note I is risk management, so this is in regards to your insurance that you have through the Special District Risk Management Authority. Then it's disclosing the limits of liability you have with them. Note J is the governing board as of June 30th of 2022. Okay, if there's any commitments and contingencies. So we just have a generic litigation in there, just ordinary course of business. And then also the COVID-19 disclosure, which has been in there for a few years. And hopefully now with it getting removed, we might be able to remove that next year, but we'll see. And then you did have a subsequent event because you did refinance your 2012 bonds. So that's disclosed here. Then your required supplementary information is just showing your budgeted information for lighting, landscape, and zone 8 compared to your actual amounts. And then the final item is our other independent auditor's report. Because we do prepare yours in accordance with government auditing standards, we are required to have this report over the financial reporting on compliance. And so that's what this is. Again, this is a standard report, nothing unusual there. But you received in the past. Anybody have any questions? I know that these are the most exciting
things
we're going to talk about tonight.
Thank you. No. Thank you for doing that.
As usual,
yeah.
Well done.
Yeah, thank you.
Easy to understand and well prepared. Thank you.
The only other thing I have to go over, sorry, there's two other little letters I have to discuss. One of them is the communication with those charged with governance letter. It's the one that's addressed to the board of directors. It says we have audited the financial statements. So this is just required for us to have this communication in writing. And again, this is just going through and explaining if there were any standards implemented, if you have any estimates in your financial statements, which everybody has estimates in their financial statements. The second page is in regards to any journal entries that we've done that are material to your financial statement. So we do prepare journal entries, and some of them are material and some of them are not. The ones that are larger are being disclosed here in this letter. And if we had any disagreements with management or anything like that, they would be in this letter. We don't have any of that. Everything was great. Your staff was great. They let us come out here and sit ourselves out here for as long as we need to, and they're very helpful. So no issues and difficulties performing our audit or anything. So again, a very good report. The last item is we do have a management advisory letter this year. And so that is in relation to like your accounts payable function. This is something we discussed with Dina and we discussed with Julie, and I know they're working on trying to figure out how to kind of resolve it or how to shore up some of the areas that we feel might be a little bit of a concern. So our advisory letter is basically saying that you have one person that's kind of doing a lot in this accounts payable function. So they're entering in the vendor, they're entering in the invoices, they're paying the bills. They're also being able to put the signature on the same, on that check that comes to you guys when you guys get it approved. So there's one person that has too much involvement in that whole process. So we need to have some separation or some segregation of those duties. So that's essentially what this is doing here, is we're recommending we need to strip some of those duties out from that one person and kind of split those up if we can. So to the best of your ability, we don't try to do recommendations that are not feasible. So whatever you guys can kind of come up with to try to help to kind of shore that area up would be helpful. And then, again, we're not trying to impede your being able to operate. It's just, you know, it's a little bit of a concern that that same person has. Not that anything's going wrong. It's just, you have a little bit of exposure there. So I just want to kind of tighten that up.
Are there any questions for the board to Pauline?
No.
No questions. Now, so I think at this point, we need a motion to approve fiscal year 2021 audited financial statements.
So moved.
What?
So moved.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Sorry, I can't. I went to carry anyway last night. My ears are still ringing. I'm having a hard time hearing. I apologize.
You had good seats, man. You guys are close.
Can I get a second?
Second?
Okay, perfect. Can I open it up to public comment? Is there any public comment about this motion? Anybody on the phone? Perfect. Thank you. I'm going to bring it back to the board. Any comments from the board? Perfect. Can I get a roll call vote, please? Yes.
Director Brown?
Aye.
Director Coteau?
Aye.
Director Graves?
Aye.
Director, Vice President Callahan?
Aye.
And President Porter?
Aye. Motion has passed. Thank you.
Nice job.
Thank you.
Thank you guys.
Okay, so we are moving on to discussion item G2, possible action to approve 2023 Parks and Rec public events calendar. Monica, you are up.
Okay, so you have before you in your packet a staff report that is discussion and possible action to approve the 2023 Parks and Recreation public event calendar. So staff has developed the attached event calendar for board consideration. This list consists of events that most of which we've held year after year, but we bring it to the board every year with the anticipation that these groups throughout the year are going to want to continue holding their events. They're kind of long-standing traditions, if you will. So we'd like to bring it to you so that when they do come to us, we're ready to go and we're not holding anything up. Upon approval of the event calendar, there will be no further board authorization needed throughout the year. So staff recommends approving the Parks and Recreation public event calendar for 2023. Unless you have any questions for me.
Are there any questions?
Oh.
No, it was very clear in the packet. Mm-hmm. So.
Perfect. Okay, so can I get a motion?
I will make a motion to accept the Parks and Rec calendar for 2023.
Can I get a second?
Point of order, counsel. Is this an item that you're comfortable with me moving forward with? Since there's no fees discussed?
There, well, the Lions Club's still involved, so it might be a good idea to recuse from both.
Okay.
Then I will recuse from both items.
Okay, so can I ask you just about if you're going to recuse yourself on it, please?
How far do you want me to step out?
To the other room, please. Thank you, I appreciate it. Okay, so just to recap, we have a first motion, Director Guteau recused himself because he's part of the Lions Club and some of these activities are sponsored by the Lions Club. So if I could get a second on it and then we'll open it up to public comment.
Second.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second. Is there any public comment regarding the calendar approval? Okay, I'll bring it back to the board. Are there any questions or comments?
Yeah, I have a question about that actually. Both the summer jam events, are we still receiving portions of that income, or we're not charging them a fee?
That's our next item.
That's the next item.
We're going to talk about
it. Well, how can I vote for it if I don't have an answer to the question?
Well, we're voting just for the calendar to put it on
the
calendar.
Well, yeah, but the calendar includes fees waived.
I see what you're saying. No, we have not received any funds. And yes,
that's my question. Question made and answered. Thank you.
Okay. Perfect.
Understood.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Any other questions? Okay, can I get a roll call motion? Or a vote, please. Sorry.
Director Graham.
Aye.
Director Graves.
Aye.
Vice President Callahan.
Aye.
President Porter.
Aye. Motion has carried. Calendar has been approved. So then we're going to move on to the G3, discussion and possible action to approve program activities and event fee waivers.
Yes. So again, this is a report that we do about this time every year, and staff is submitting for board acceptance of the following 2023 programs, activities, and events whose fees are being waived by the general manager upon finding of public interest per our park and facility use rental policy number 13, which is attached. So what we do is we have a few groups, and we've, over the years, dwindled this down quite a bit, so that's great. The Scouts of America uses our room at no charge, so we waive those fees for their meetings every Monday. In turn, they do a project here at the Community Center, which I presented at one of the other meetings, that they're going to be doing our wall ball. Between Eagle Scout and the troop. So we're very excited about that. The annual Lions Club Easter Egg Hunt is held here at the Community Center on the back property. Summer Jam and Holiday Parade. So staff recommends acceptance of the above mentioned programs, activities, and event fee waivers by the general manager for a total amount of $1,955.
Can I ask some questions? I'm going to
yes.
tag on to Director Grace. So with the Summer Jam and the Holiday Parade, I know at one point they were donating some money back. And with those items, while we're waiving the fees, are we incurring anything as Lions Club and Scouts? Are they managing all of this stuff, or are we waiving fees and also contributing staff time to it?
The Scouts, there's no staff time. They simply come in and use the room for 1 hour on Monday.
Okay.
And it's not even throughout the whole year because they don't come in the summer. There's holiday breaks, things like that. So there's no cost to us for that one. Summer Jam, there is. We have always provided staff time, our generator, fuel, have a list here. Let me. Am I on the right track with your question?
Yeah, you are. Okay. You're hitting okay. the right track.
So all of our staff, whether it be management and part-time hourly staff, fuel generator, rental for that, delivering the light tower, the message board. So those are expenses to the town. And correct, we've not... There's no revenue coming back.
Years past, I know last year we didn't get revenue, but typically they do a large donation back to the town. Is that correct?
It was never really a donation. So this okay. was a joint event. So we did it together, and it's kind of morphed into more of a Lions Club event.
Okay.
Sponsorships went away. So the way it was originally built and intended has changed a bit. So at the end of the evening, whatever profits were made were split between the mm-hmm. two groups, 50% to the Community Center, 50% to the Lions Club.
Okay.
That has not happened in the last few concerts. So we do have the expense going out, but not recouping any.
Do you have more comment than or shall I make a comment?
Go for it.
Make your comment.
I just want to, based on my involvement with the Lions Club and other people that I know that are involved with the Lions Club, I know that because sponsorships went away and COVID kind of killed things, yeah. and that they didn't make any. It wasn't that they're keeping profits that they normally would. They're just not mm-hmm. making anything. Yeah. So there's nothing to split. And my question was simply that, but I do want to say that I still am in support of us providing a space for the community to do this. And if it costs us a bit out of our Zone 8 money or Community Center money, I'm still in favor of us putting these on, because I think it's a good thing for the community. The community's got accustomed to it. It brings people to the Community Center. And it just may very well at some point in time, you know, as long as we're keeping... as long as we make an arrangement that says, hey, listen, if you guys make over a whatever, you know, we need to be compensated $1,500 or whatever our out-of-pocket is. If they don't make it, I don't know how you guys want to handle that. I just wanted to state that I'm still in support of it. I just wanted to clarify what was going on, that's all.
Yeah, it does. Just by looking at this, it seems a little odd. Didn't, refresh my memory, the new bank that we went with, did they not say that they would support and give us money for some, like, town concerts and things?
I don't think they specified town concerts. Or, they said they'd like to donate to town-funded events or things that we put on.
Which this probably doesn't qualify for, because this is not a town event anymore.
It's a Lions
Club event, so they would be giving the money to the Lions Club and not that. Now, the Lions Club on their own can go to the bank and ask for a sponsorship.
Mm-hmm, of course.
But I don't think as a board we want to do that.
No.
Oh, no, I'm not.
Yeah.
I just wanted to.
And that's why I did list in here recommending that we do waive those fees. For using the
I'm in support of it. I just wanted to understand what we've done over the years.
For transparency, I wanted to understand exactly what it looks like.
Sure. So, are there any other questions regarding the fee waivers?
I would just make one other comment with regards to that, and that is that also there's a constant change of responsibilities with the Lions Club, vice president, PM presidents. And it rotates around. Some have better connections than others. And also, we're coming out of a really tough time.
Yeah,
and people like Bill Brandt Ford, who has now getting trucks in and is making money again, might come back as a sponsor. So I think it needs to be an ongoing event. That's all.
And it's great for the community.
As you have new boards and it just has morphed into really more of a Lions Club event. And that's great. That's why we do want to support that. And still allow usage of the grounds.
Yeah.
If the board supports that as well.
Okay. Go ahead.
The cost to put on these concerts has completely increased. And so that's part of the reason why, you're not getting money back.
Yeah.
It's just the
everything.
Bands,
sound, everything's more expensive.
Is this anything we should have documented, saying if it gets to be them bringing in over such and such a dollar amount, then they still will? I mean, I'm... Absolutely, we need to have these concerts, and I think it's wonderful, but it's also the town's money, it's the people's money that we're spending, so should we just have it documented about what it's morphed into now?
Yeah, but it's a town event.
I think now that it's a Lions Club event, we're not really spending town money, we're actually giving them the space, and that's our donation, is they get the space, they get our light tower, and they get the generator if needed.
Yeah.
Well, there's a little bit of staff time in there, right?
There's a little bit of staff time.
I would suggest that we're developing a better and in-depth relationship with the Lions Club based on the parade and everything else. I think that we can trust that, and they're a transparent organization. Everybody knows a member of the Lions Club. Yeah. They don't hide anything. Their finances are wide open. So I would just suggest that we just maintain that relationship and ask that question at some point. Hey, did you guys make any money? If you did, we'd love to have about $1,000 or something to cover our staff.
Yeah. They put on a great event. It is crowded and people come and they love it. I hear from the community they like it. So it is a good event.
Well, and they're a volunteer organization by nature.
Yes.
So, they're supporting us by holding a community event. I think that we can support them by doing it.
Right.
Okay.
I don't think anybody could question that.
No. Any other questions?
I can't remember.
have we done a motion or a second at this point? So can I get a motion to approve the waived events listed, recommended by staff, please?
I would make a motion to approve staff recommendation on item 3.
Can I get a second?
I will second the motion.
Perfect. Is there any public comment regarding this discussion item? Okay. We'll bring it back to the board. Are there any other comments from the board? Perfect. Can I get a roll call vote, please?
Director Graham?
I'm going to vote no on this just because I'm just not comfortable with not having more information documented, however it is, whether it's a donation or money changing hands, whatever. So.
Okay. Director Graves?
Aye.
Vice President Callahan?
Aye.
President Porter?
Aye.
Okay.
Motion carried. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Welcome back.
Thanks for being back.
Can I...
But just as a reminder, The Lions Club donated $10,000 to the community pool last year.
Yeah.
We appreciate that.
I just didn't want that to go unmentioned because recitable number set. That was left off, unfortunately.
So we are going to move on to manager's reports. Bill, landscape update, please, and thank you.
Good evening. Firstly, I'll touch on some of the major projects that you guys know that are going on. I'll kind of get into the weeds a little bit, some of the smaller things we're doing. Obviously, Clipper, that's a little bit of a slow go with the rain, but all the material's ready, core's on board, and how we're doing things now, and we'll be moving fairly quickly here. The Prop 68 project for Cornell, the RFP is set to go out this week for the resurface of the basketball courts with new hoops. The bid opening is set for the first week of April. In addition, we'll soon be purchasing the new amenities, tables, garbage cans, recycle receptacles in the next few weeks. The concrete fence at Ravenswood and near Slipher Park. I have another batch of posts and rails delivered, so the park will probably be finished in the next couple weeks, then they'll move on to the wetland areas. Next week, I have a meeting with the county regarding some of the projects in the special zones. In particular, I'll be going over the solar lighting project from Newport to Safeway, as well as the new signage for the Regatta neighborhood at the corner of Bixler and Regatta. And then I'll talk a little bit here about some of the smaller things, kind of filling the gap under the radar things we're doing. We are working with an electrician to get some pricing on replacing the uplighting at the front entrance. We do have the replacement parts finally for the splash pads. We'll be getting that up and running in April. We've started replacing many of the street signs this week. I think we've got a dozen done so far today. And as far as the wall that was replaced on Sandpoint, I've been trying to contact the HOA regarding they broke our irrigation and the slope and such. So working with them to try to get that resolved.
Well, it looks like another section is about to fall off there, make sure you guys are aware of it and be very careful in that area because it looks kind of sketchy.
Questions?
Perfect. Thank you. You have a lot going on. Now we're going to move on to general manager's report.
Okay. Throughout last Friday, staff monitored all of Discovery Bay's properties due to the storm warnings. There was flooding at wastewater treatment plant number 2 behind the solar dryers and minimal flooding on the grounds at wastewater treatment plant 1. The community center, which had drainage issues, had flooding in the parking lot, the pool area, and the dog park. The tennis and pickleball courts were also puddled and saturated. The walkways and grass areas were wet and slippery. The building had a leak in the roof, which drenched the ceiling's drywall. Staff went on the roof to try to mitigate future leaking due to the weather reports predicting heavy rainfall. The fix held over the weekend through Tuesday's heavy rain. The drywall was aired, and the repairs are continuing. Throughout the day on Friday, staff continued to monitor the storm situation, receiving reports from Contra Costa County OES storm updates and the local news on the state of the oncoming storms. The decision was made to close the community center over the weekend due to the forecasted heavy rain and flooding of the grounds that occurred Friday, March 10th. Public safety was the basis for the closure. Staff is happy to report that although the community center and plants were impacted by the rain, no substantial damage was reported on the grounds due to the weather.
Awesome.
End of my report.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any questions? Okay. Just note some director's regional meeting and training reports and correspondence. Is there any other future items for agenda items for our next meeting? Okay, so I am going to go ahead and close our meeting at 8 p.m. Oh, was there? I thought I heard someone's hand. Sorry. Thank you.